Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
And welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. André DeShields has been called the King of Broadway. His many Broadway roles range from the title character in The Wiz to his current Tony Award-winning role, Hermes, the messenger in Hadestown. And now André DeShields is back in his hometown of Baltimore to perform 3 concerts with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra beginning tonight. Theater critic J. Wynn Russick spoke with André DeShields last week.
André, you and I go back a long way, and it's a pleasure to welcome you home.
Likewise, Judy.
Now Broadway is reopening, and you are back in your Tony Award-winning role in the Tony Award-winning Broadway hit Hadestown. But you're taking a week off to rehearse and perform at the Meyerhoff. I know you're very proud of your Baltimore roots, and they go deep. You grew up on Division Street. You graduated from City College. But André, what motivated you to drop everything and perform with the Baltimore Symphony?
Judy, maybe you've done your research, but maybe you don't know that I'm the 9th of 11 children.
Oh, I couldn't forget that, André.
Okay. Born and bred in Baltimore, in an area that we called Northwest Baltimore, but it now has a name. It's called Upton, which I remember as the innermost of the inner cities in Baltimore. And the cultural spine that still runs through that area, Pennsylvania Avenue, we called it The Avenue. That is where we planted the seeds of our dreams. And everyone that I can remember dreamed about getting out of Baltimore. I was probably the only one who dreamed about coming back to Baltimore once getting out, because Baltimore is in my blood. I am the man I am today, first because of my family, but second because of Baltimore. Because of the streets of Baltimore, because of the people I went to school with in Baltimore, because of the dreams I shared with my peers in Baltimore, because it was in the Royal Theater, which no longer exists, but it was on Pennsylvania Avenue, that I witnessed the movie that starred what at the time would have been every world-class black entertainer, Cabin in the Sky. And it was in the Royal Theater, sitting in that dark cathedral, that I experienced the epiphany that still encourages me to this day. The epiphany that has a direct line to my having won the Tony on Sunday, June 9th, 2019. If you recall, in my Tony acceptance speech, I referenced a covenant, a vow that I made to the city that I was leaving, that I was going to achieve stature one day that would cause Baltimore to say, André DeShields, that's our native son. It's 21 years into the 21st century, and Baltimore needs a renaissance. Baltimore needs to achieve a new glory, similar to the one that it used to enjoy. And I think that it can only happen if each of us does his very best to take a time to come home and say, this is where I belong.
Well, that's a very gracious statement of gratitude, and I know you believe it deeply, because anyone who saw that Tony Award speech knows that you started it by saying, is Baltimore in the house? And Baltimore will certainly be in the house at the Meyerhoff.
Great.
I have to ask you, most of the work that you do on stage is portraying characters. Baltimore theatergoers saw you create the title role in The Wiz when it tried out for Broadway at the Mechanic Theater back in 1974.
That is correct.
And then you returned to that role at the Lyric in 1993. That was my first interview with you for The Sun. You also reprised another major role, The Viper in Ain't Misbehavin' at the Mechanic in 1988. But Baltimore audiences will see you doing something very different at the Meyerhoff. You'll be performing as yourself.
Yes.
Is that easier or harder than playing a character?
That is the most difficult thing to do. You're allowing the audience to experience you from the inside out. That is the quality we like to keep secret from the world. And that is problematic. But because we have all experienced and continue to experience this pandemic, which has finally done what we all speak about, leveling the playing field. When the playing field is leveled, we begin to see everything from the inside out. We start witnessing the interior architecture of everything. And I was inspired when I won the Tony to actually put my heart on my sleeve so that people could understand that I am a product of so many people, so many aspirations, so many dreams that were initially dreamed in Baltimore, and so many dreams that never got a chance to be realized. And at every turn, at every detour, on this path that I am walking to my home, I discover Baltimore. It's in my blood.
Well, and you will share all of that with the people at the Meyerhoff, and it's very brave in the way that you're going to do that. If you've just joined us, I'm theater critic Jaywin Russick, and my guest is Tony, Emmy, and Grammy Award winner Andre DeShields. He'll be performing with the Baltimore Symphony this weekend. Andre, can you give us a preview of what you'll be performing with the Baltimore Symphony? I know you're going to perform with the choir from your alma mater, City College. Will you be doing anything from Hadestown?
If I may first, I'm so glad you mentioned that the choir from Baltimore City College, because when I had this idea that I was going to come home, it wasn't that I was coming home as this celebrity who had made it. I was coming home as a child of the city, and I wanted people to understand that there were institutions, that there were relationships, that there were emotions that I could come home to and invite to collaborate with me, to coordinate with me, to communicate with me, and make sacrosanct this place, this venue, which when I was attending Baltimore City College seemed a world away, but now it is attainable. Now I can consider it part of the house that belongs in my history. Now I want to answer specifically the question you asked. Yes, I'm going to perform one song from Hadestown, and it is not a song that my character Hermes sings. It is a song that is sung by the young protagonist, Orpheus. And the title of the song is If It's True What They Say. And I went to Aeneas Mitchell, who is the composer of the libretto, and asked her if I could have her permission to use this song. Because if there's a way to sum up the narrative that I'm bringing to the Meyerhoff, the narrative that I'm collaborating with Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, is that question. If it's true what they say, and on the one side, it is true what they say, if you work hard, you will achieve. On the other side, it isn't true what they say, that you cannot achieve because of the color of your skin. One of the reasons I attended Baltimore City College was to have an opportunity to leave Baltimore, to experience the world, so that I would have a greater opportunity to come back to Baltimore and say, it's possible. Don't buy into this condemnation of yourselves as second-class citizens. I want to be evidence of the possibility of endless opportunity.
Well, and you certainly are. You certainly are. I should say that your character in Hadestown is a Greek god, Hermes, far from a second-class citizen. In Roman mythology, Hermes is Mercury, and I have to tell listeners, that's the way André Deshields moves on stage, like slow, slick Mercury. Hermes, of course, is a messenger, and
yes,
in your work—
Yes, messenger to the gods, yeah.
Right, and your work includes teaching and directing. You have always been a messenger. Do you think of yourself that way?
Yes, I do. I think of myself as a messenger. I think of myself as a Latter-day Griot. You know that term, Judy?
Yes, sure. Storyteller. African
yes.
roots.
Storyteller. African roots, yes. That individual whose responsibility it is not only to keep the oral history of the individual, the family, the community, the tribe, the nation, the world at large, whose responsibility it is to keep the faith. It is the responsibility of the griot to remind the community that you are worthy, that you deserve, because you are human. No other credential is needed. You are human, you are worthy.
It's certainly a strong message, and you are an exemplar of that. André, you made your Broadway debut, to go back a little ways, in a short-lived show called Warp. And in that first interview for The Sun years ago, you told me that your character, Xander the Unconquerable, shared a sense of outrageousness with The Wiz. I have to ask, along with The Wiz, some of your iconic Broadway roles include The Viper and Ain't Misbehavin', Horse, who sang the show-stopping song Big Black Man in the Full Monty, and now Hermes in Hadestown. Do the roles you play share any common characteristics?
Yes. The roles I play share the characteristics that have always been denied Black America. Nobility. Hubris. Majesty. There is a sense of not invincibility, but always-ness, eternity, forever-ness in every character that I create. And that is because I use as one of my mentors, Methuselah. Yeah. That character from the Old Testament, who lived to be 969 years, the oldest individual in the history of mankind. And I believe that time is longer than anything. Too often I've heard people say, life is short, get it quickly, get all that you can. I don't believe that. I believe life is long. It's how you live it that diminishes it.
André, I called you a teacher and director in addition to being an actor, but I should have added philosopher. Is there an underlying principle that guides your life?
Well, yeah. You mentioned the term philosophy. And I do have a philosophical approach to this journey that I'm on. One of the gems that I have found along the road is a term borrowed from the network of Bantu languages spoken in southeastern Africa. The term is Ubuntu. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I know
great.
it's a guidepost for you. And
yeah.
I believe it translates something like, I am because you are. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And I would like to share that with the listening audience. If they If your listening audience takes nothing else away from our conversation, the idea of an everyday Ubuntu approach to life is something I want to share. I am because you are, and vice versa, right? You are because I am. Now that means we're in this together. That means that what you do affects me. What I do affects you. What we do together affects spaceship Mother Earth. Let's do the good thing. Let's do the right thing. Let's do the procreative thing.
I want to ask you something about living through the pandemic. It shut down all of Broadway, which was an immense hardship for everyone working there, of course, but also for audiences. But you did a lot during the shutdown. I mean, to name just two things you did, you played King Lear in an outdoor production in St. Louis. You yeah. even played Anton Ego, the merciless restaurant critic, in Ratatouille, the TikTok right. musical. I got a real kick out of that one. I can tell right. you did, too. That was a benefit for the Actors Fund, and it was right. just one of many charitable performances that you did during COVID. Did you see this period as an opportunity for growth and maybe also for service?
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. As I continue to evolve, I understand that the joy in my life is going to be best derived from the service that I do in my life. So when the pandemic hit, I didn't go into hiding. I mean, I followed the rules, the protocol of COVID, but I realized that this was an opportunity for me to set a standard, not only for myself, but for other people who were frustrated, who were stressed out, who didn't know what to do. Because in the democratic process of being an actor, activist, one realizes, one experiences, one deeply understands that every complication, every difficult situation, every problem disguises a blessing. If you avoid the problem, it grows on the horizon until it looms as if it is insurmountable. But if you approach the problem, then you discover its porosity, the holes in it. You can step through and be on the other side before you know it. I went out during the pandemic to discover what I could do safely, with discipline, because the pandemic was changing. Why look over your shoulder and try to reestablish the old normal? Normal didn't want anything to do with us. Normal kicked us in the butt and said, get out of here. There's a new world. There's a new earth you need to create. The covenant you made with the old, you violated. The universe is screaming at us. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Think it over. So that's what I was doing.
Well, and you certainly did it very fully and very well. And I am very glad that you are our messenger in this new world. I also have to say that if you live to be as old as Methuselah, and I hope you do, it'll not only be a lucky, fortunate thing for you, it'll be a fortunate thing for us.
Because think of how much we can achieve in 969 years.
Well, Andre DeShields, thank you so much. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
And thank you for this opportunity. Let's have another date.
Sounds good.
Andre DeShields, he spoke with Midday Theater critic J. Wynn Russick last week. He'll be performing concerts tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. We've got details on our website, wypr.org/midday. I'm Tom Hall. Coming up, Judy Russick joins me with a review of Tootsie at the Hippodrome Theater here in Baltimore, as well as a reflection on the legacy of Stephen Sondheim. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.